This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
Need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Cowboy Nation, I know how the hell you're feeling.
Really? That's how we're going to do it? We're going to start off the show like that? Where's my energy?
You know what? Rich isn't here today.
Oh, my God.
So there goes the motivational bullshit.
All right, but let me ask you a question before we get all started
this
and everything.
By the way, folks, this is Steve-O that's chiming in right now, and Rodney...
I'm here.
On here too,
I'm
babe.
Here today.
Really, you don't think after, 38 shows they know my voice,
well,
the sultry sounds
for the first time listener.
If these guys know your sausage fingers, they know the vocal cords over here, bud.
Okay.
All right, you got it. So let me ask. Sure. So all of a sudden last week, noses running, sniffling, all that stuff. Right. Go to the Cowboy game, yelling, screaming, like everybody else.
Uh-huh.
Right? So now I got like this cough in my... What do you do for a cough?
What the hell do I care? I thought you were going to talk about the goddamn
whiskey
game.
I got to get this
whiskey and honey.
Hey, here's the deal, because every once in a while you're going to hear me turn around and go, right there. So what do you do with that?
That's what you interrupted me for?
Well, you didn't have any energy, man. I didn't think there was any flow to this.
You had to get you riled up a little bit.
Yeah, he had to get our medical advice on his cough.
Listen, if you don't bring the energy today, I'm going to take my sausage fingers.
I'm saying to you right now, my energy level is more on... stuff that happened during the game that I'm wondering, how the hell can we have progressed and went backwards like this? All I did the entire year was tell you guys, third down and two, we got to solve. And it comes back to haunt us again, this year again, third down and two. Somehow, someway, we abandoned the run game. Somehow, someway, Elliott now... the value of Elliott goes down. Now we're relying on Dak. Is this the deal? Have we said in this game that now we're abandoning the run and going with Dak? I don't understand for this fact alone, because I know third down and two, the guy could have gotten 2-3 yards. If he even stumbles and goes 1 yard, I'm still going to go for it and get that yard because I have the best offensive line. When you get inside the red zone, why are we throwing 3 straight passes for the love of God? You guys wanted me to get into this.
No, we don't have to. You just take it, brother. You're preaching to the choir.
Why are we throwing the ball? Why aren't we running the ball that got us there? We were 13-3, arguably 14. We gave one to Philadelphia for the hell of it. But I'm just saying to you, we were rested. Elliott played only... I say 14 and a half weeks, and the rest, he rested all the way till now. We had him for 40 carries. That's what I said. 30 to 40 carries is what we wanted. What did we get? We get 22 carries out of him. We could have gotten a lot more out of him. Use the clock essentially to be more positive than what we were in this game.
Well,
go
here's
ahead.
The deal. How many times did we see a back-to-back Elliott run? Or more importantly, a back-to-back-to-back. You want to talk about just demoralizing. I remember back in the day when Emmett would get the ball like 6 times in a row and all of a sudden you're 45, 50 yards down the field. I mean, this guy's rushing 5.8 or whatever the final stat was, yards per carry, which remember the old adage, 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Right.
He's 5'8".
Rodney, it was working.
It was working. I think what I saw...
I mean, what Steve-O was saying is working.
No, it's true. But what happened was we got down early. We couldn't stop them early. We didn't get to play our game from the get-go, which is what we've done pretty much all year, right?
But again, didn't that dictate to not running the ball? Third down and two early in the game, like with 13 minutes to start the game off or something like that. We settle for a damn field goal.
No, I can't disagree with that part. No, I mean,
that dictates what happens from that point on.
Right. I think what happens a lot of times is when any team, when they get down early, the offensive coordinator, their mindset changes a little bit. And they go to the, you know, we got to hurry up and get back in this thing, right? And I think that probably had something to do with it.
Yeah, well, it really backfired on us because I seen, such as you guys seen, I think our fans out there seen, you seen that D-line, you know, it started weakening. It started weakening. On both sides, actually, our D-line was weakening too. But the key was we needed that ball at the end. We had to get that. And here's another thing, too. I like to throw this out there for all the listeners and our guys here in the radio station. Well, not radio, our station here. Why didn't we try a 72 or 74-yard field goal? It would have been a free one. Mind you, no one can block it. They can't return it. If he puts his hand up, catches that ball, Beasley, now we've got, I think we can have one play to where it's a free shot for 3 points. I'm just saying. I mean, no, you see it on the kickoff all the time. They're just right there, a little close to the bars. Why not try it? I mean, it's a free kick, and they can't return it. Defense can't block it. There's no repercussions from it. I'm just throwing that out. There's not a maybe 5% chance he puts that in, but there's still 5% chance that we could get that. I thought we were outcoached.
I knew the rule existed. Honestly, at the time, I didn't catch it till later, until it was already over with. So I don't know. Did Garrett say that he missed it? What was his explanation
for that?
I haven't heard it either. And I don't think he has said anything, because that probably tells me that he probably missed it too. I mean, in all reality, is he going to probably make that kick? Probably not.
No.
But you still have to take that shot.
Yes.
I mean, and it's a rule that
– Yeah, if you fair catch
– Right.
It's a no-rush free kick. You know, you get it's like you said, it's a free shot.
It's a free shot.
And it's one of those things. I don't know if I've only seen it maybe two or three times in my entire existence of watching
it. It happened in a Rams or Cardinal game or something like that.
Are you going to take the last shot of the season with the Rams quote here?
No. Well, you should know, right?
Yeah, he should be the one knowing about that crap. But
you learn a lot of stuff on the sidelines down there.
I don't know, Jono. For me, we had bigger issues. That wasn't
No. I'm just throwing that out of time management and all that. Didn't I mention to you guys though? I mentioned to you, Steve-O, before you say anything. I said Cook was going to be the guy that kills me.
Let me tell you what.
And sure enough, that goddamn Cook, he hurt us. He hurt us bad.
But the fact of the matter is, without that 35-yard catch, he really isn't that much of a factor. I mean, he's a good player.
He was open every damn time.
But the funniest one was, and I know it was a tip pass, but I was on text or something with I think it was with you guys, as we all watched from different areas. But, you know, he's catching the ball all over the field. I mean, he looks like Jerry Rice, right? And then the one goes, and it's just barely just tipped. It hits him right in the face mask. I go, there he is.
That's our Jared Cook. Yeah.
I mean, we expected him when he got here to the Rams that he would be that sort of player. And, I mean,
he was terrible. Type of player, yeah.
Terrible.
He looked all world. He definitely shined against our Cowboys. And I brought up Aaron Rodgers. We had to stifle him, keep him contained, and as soon as he gets out of that pocket, the guy's dangerous. I mean, not just the running aspect, but it opens up a whole new field to him. Our DBs were just getting eaten alive.
Well, I think what we saw early in the game was Marinelli sitting back. He was only going to rush three or four. And it gave Rodgers plenty of time, and they realized that, and they got behind early, so they had to start putting some pressure on him. But again, Rodgers, his feet, his legs, if he can get outside the pocket, the spy is only as good if you get him.
Right.
And you keep him in the pocket. As soon as he gets outside the pocket, he's going to tear you apart, and
right.
he did.
And you know what? I've had discussions, and I do this a lot with friends, you know, and I think everybody does it out there in listener land, where you go, okay, you got one quarterback that you can start a franchise with, and you know how, what kind of player they are, and you know all their skill sets throughout their whole career.
Right.
And I'm telling you, for me, it's Aaron Rodgers. And I've heard a lot of people, you know, Roger Staubach, which is great. I mean, a little bit prior to me really being involved in the Cowboys, but it's Aaron Rodgers to me. The guy is that good, and I don't want to act like I'm, you know,
don't
kissing
act
his
like
ass.
Aikman, please.
Yeah, exactly. Or Joe Buck, which is a funny story on him. But anyway, the guy is incredible. I mean, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the game, just on what he can make happen on these plays. And we saw it, and it bit us in the ass. And guess what, Jono? The other thing that we talked about all year long was our secondary,
right?
And them not really getting exposed. I mean, we've come on this show and said, holy crap, how good are these guys playing? You know, Jones, Claiborne, Scandrick, you know, we've beat up Carr a little bit. But the fact of the matter is a pass rush will make your defensive backs look a whole lot better than what they may actually be. And when you not only don't have a pass rush, but you got Aaron Rodgers, one of the better quarterbacks ever to play the game,
just dissecting,
he will win. And the guy's running to his left, and he throws a ball
right
to his left, right? And he throws a ball.
Yeah. He's running left, throwing
runs,
right.
Yeah. A right-handed quarterback, and throws that ball on the money, an absolute perfect place to put it.
Yeah.
Listen. I get it. Who is it? Was it Jones on him? Was it Byron Jones that cut in front of Cook,
man,
there?
We had everyone
but
on everyone.
The bottom line is, on something like that, do you not pick up the guy behind you? But he is able to put it in just a perfect position. Kudos to them. But we got a lot to talk about. I agree with you. Outcoached. Okay? Clock management. I think we had a couple of bullshit calls that we all sat here texting back and forth. Like, have you ever seen anything like that?
Can we get to one of them now?
We're going to go to one. But I'm just going to go through the litany. And Aaron Rodgers, as much as I like him as a quarterback, think he's great, what a Bush League freaking play.
Didn't I tell you guys that's what he likes to do?
Yeah, you did. But that's the type of guy that, when he's on your team, I guess it's awesome, but when he's playing against you, that's why he's hated. Let's be honest about it.
It sucks. It hurts when it goes against him. But let's be honest. If he's on our team and he does that and makes the other team burn a timeout, we're all telling him how great he is.
Yeah, but like he said, though, I just thought I'm looking at him. I'm going, that's Lucifer. I'm watching Lucifer on TV.
Right.
I mean, how the hell do you feel good about yourself? It's almost like deflating a football.
When you're a competitor – you want to win, don't – all of us have played, right? Don't we – he didn't break a rule. He didn't do anything illegal. I can't believe I'm defending him. It pisses me off the fact that I'm just sitting here defending him. But I'm being – I'm going to be honest about it.
He's sitting in Rich's spot.
Yeah. Right, that's what it is.
And on top of that, he has a couple of great freaking State Farm commercials.
Yeah, by the way, I told my wife, anything you got with State Farm, pull the plug on that. I'm not doing it.
Without a doubt.
Hey, Cowboys, nothing to do with State Farm.
Listen, Cowboys.
How much Green Bay Packer can they be?
I don't know. But all I got to say is, if you're a Cowboy fan and you have State Farm insurance, pull.
Not that was Steve-O, though, on that note.
Well, we got Rodney in here, who's a property and casualty guy, too.
You got a guy can take care of it, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well. One big play that I've never seen anything like it, and I'm going to tell you guys, was that unsportsmanlike conduct on Butler. Now,
I've never seen it called ever.
I've never seen that. What, did he have a revolver in the huddle? Was he about to shoot someone? I mean, honest to God, that wasn't even a huddle. They were running in and out. Prescott wasn't even in the huddle. You can't even establish that was even a huddle.
I want to know how many times that was called during the season.
Once. That was a 37-yard penalty, wasn't it? 22 taken away and 15 added on?
It was unbelievable because we were on their 15-yard line. We were on their 15-yard line, and then that put us out of range for the punt even. I mean, we punted.
Right. You almost have to be looking for something like that to make that call. Like,
who the hell would look for that?
No one?
This is exactly what we talked about the entire year. I don't know why the NFL headhunts the Cowboys. Cowboys. I mean, we're the ones that bring them the bread and butter, you know? We're the ones that take care of them. And they, when it's all said and done, let's go with the Green Bay Packers. They've done it before. They did it again. That was a big, nasty call they called on us right there. And another call.
The pass interference that should have been a holding. The pass interference for whatever
on Witten,
it was.
Witten, right?
Oh, no. Okay.
I mean, the guy's got him around the gut. He's about to he brings him down, and Witten's like, you got to be kidding. What is a pass interference?
The problem was that there was no consistency because now we got away with a couple. Green Bay got away with a couple. You know, it.
But this was their all-star cast of referees.
No, I
Why
know.
Can't
and it was
have...
at a big time in the game. It was a crucial point in the game. That's more important than just, you know, the actual call itself. It was a very crucial time. They were letting them get away. Both sides were getting away with quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we had the one where we had the pass interference on us.
What makes one stand out, though, Steve? What makes
the time of game and where we were.
So that stands out.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not defending it. I'm just saying it was the last. What does every athlete want from an umpire, an official, whatever? They want consistency.
They
want to know what the rules are going to be for this game. How are they going to call it so we can play accordingly? And that was not the case.
And that's a stupid commissioner. He can't get anything right. Why have an all-star type of refereeing out there? Why not have an all graded high crew that work together the entire year, and those are the ones that they work together, then they do the officiating together in that game. Don't take one head linesman that was the graded. I mean, these guys were all graded as a crew, and now you've dissected all of them, got them away from each other, and now they're doing this game, and now they're the best referees. No, it's not. It was the best crew. The best crew should be working these NFL playoff games. I mean, that's my take.
No, agreed. You get used to looking for certain things and knowing who's doing what and who's counting this and you know, and thumbs up, thumbs down, and thumbs sideways and all the shit they do.
It's just like being a teammate. Yeah. You want, you know, when you have some continuity with your teammate or your umpiring crew.
That's a great call, Rodney, because
important.
You work good with us.
Yeah.
This is a good crew. Now, if you went to another crew, they said, Rodney's good. But Rodney doesn't function the same with the other two guys because Rodney's used to these two guys.
Yep.
So that's where I'm going there. So that call to me.
The one on Witten.
No. The one, this unsportsmanlike conduct that took us out of the 15-yard line. Mind you, that's big.
Yeah.
Because now we either score a field goal or we score a touchdown. Right. For sure, I'd say we score a field goal.
At the very least, we get
at the very least.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm saying we don't fumble or anything like that. We got three more points. Now it throws a little bit of a... Folks, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This unsportsmanlike conduct should have been called as, realistically, I haven't heard it being come. I thought he did something in the huddle. I thought he pulled down his pants or something.
What did he say? He came in the huddle, he left the huddle, and then came back in because he was supposed to be in there.
No, he reported in, and then... he didn't partake in
participate in the play,
and he left. Now, in my mind, how can you even say that was a huddle? Because a huddle is when they're all gathered together with the quarterback, and the quarterback, I don't think Prescott was even in that huddle. Because we see it on TV, you're seeing all these guys just running around. No one's even established a huddle,
yeah.
So I don't even know how they call it a huddle.
You're splitting hairs at that point. What's the definition of huddle for the officials to look at? Because when we see it, we're just like, you see people running in and out of the huddle all the time.
But
personnel
when
changes
it's a huddle, when it's a huddle, it's established. It's
right.
A huddle.
It didn't look established to me, but
it
I don't
wasn't
know.
A huddle.
Yeah.
It wasn't a huddle.
If we I have did. An official, I would love to get an actual, you know, an unbiased official's opinion on that call.
Well, we can't have those on the show because Jono says they don't have anything to do with the Cowboys. I got them lined up to come on.
Officiating team?
Yeah.
When the hell have you said you could get an official with your hamburger mouth?
Agents. I got everybody ready to go. And you know, not the Cowboys.
You
what are you
going to
talk
you
about?
You have one guy that raises that State Farm net in the end zone.
Allstate.
All state. Yeah, all state.
Yeah, drop State Farm, remember.
That was Steve on that one, folks. What penalty were you talking about? That
I was talking about the pass interference. Was it on, who was it on? Was it on Carr or Jones or who was it?
No, it was on our little fellow that I've
the
been
ripping.
The
uncatchable ball that was thrown in the corner.
That he actually intercepted.
Right, yeah.
No, he didn't intercept that. What's his name?
No, Heath intercepted it.
Heath, I thought you said
he. No, he. See, that's I was yelling at the TV so much you can't even understand me now.
I can't, I'm really into this, man.
I got to tell you, folks, I usually sit down and do this show. Jono stands, and we usually stand next to each other. Now we're standing on opposite sides just to keep from punching.
I just want that triangle look.
It's a showdown.
I'm like the catcher today.
Well, you might sausage jab me in the, you know, like sausage finger jab me. Freudian slip. God.
Sausage jab.
Jab.
It's terrible. I'm fired up.
No, it was our guy. What's our guy's name? Claiborne.
Claiborne.
Couldn't you stay unhealthy for another week? You came in and you did nothing.
We were excited that he was coming back, too.
Oh, God. And I bought into that whole bullshit about our DBs being ranked number one. Our guys, this was the stuff that we feared the most. Our DBs getting exploited happened. Our D-line, well, you know what? That big white running back they had on Green Bay, he kept popping 4 or 5 yards a carry.
Yeah, Ripkowski. We our tackling was terrible. All right,
I tell you what, God bless Sean Lee, though, man.
Well, let's go to a positive note. Guess who's joining him next year?
Talk to me.
Jalen Smith.
Oh, yeah, Jalen Smith.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so, folks, we got another supposed to be a top 10 pick.
No, you're right.
Okay.
But I hope that Big Brown, that big horse named Big Brown with that bad leg, I hope it doesn't come to play here because I'm telling you, recovering from knee injuries is something else.
It's modern. This isn't Granite City High School back in the 70s, bud. They got modern medicine now.
All right, I wasn't playing in the 70s, but you're on fire today, so keep firing away.
80s. Boys. You want me to do the gravedigger over here? I'm doing the gravedigger now.
We got no gravedigger.
Listen here, you two.
Have I busted his chops?
A little bit. He's fired up, though. He was fired up before we got in here to the studio, so he's got to get it out.
Yeah, it's terrible. But all in all, here's what I mean. When you start, you can take a lot of positives away from this game, too. First and foremost,
what was that?
You're down 21-3 and you don't lay down, you don't die. I'm telling
you, Cowboy history, though.
This team is better off and fit to go in to next year. I'm going 16-0 next year, without a doubt.
Come on.
No, I'm serious. After what just happened this week, I'm telling you, there is not a position we're going to be in next year that we can't go and win it.
Right about that. There's not a damn team that scares us.
That's a huge, huge deal. And then you sitting over there, I don't want to face the Giants. I want to face the Packers. I didn't want to face the Packers. I wanted to face the Giants.
Oh, yeah, it's easy for you to say that now, Goon. You know we lost.
Go ahead and rewind the tape. You want me to rewind it for you?
I threw at you came about, though. I told you.
You were like Nostradamus over there, and you were in a pissed-off mood when we tried to get together on Sunday and do a show.
I was
live.
There.
Yeah, but you were all disgruntled. You didn't want to come over and watch.
I didn't want to watch with all the kids running loose and everything.
There's no
like
kids.
I didn't like that.
I threw everybody out of my house. It was me and Rich.
Yeah, that's something else.
And I wouldn't even let him say anything motivational.
Yeah, you kept that?
I kept it out. The only thing he said is the popcorn's awesome when he brought that in.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd you pull that off?
I don't know. And then he started fist pounding me and my hands broke or something. I mean, this guy breaks seven bricks at a time. I mean, it's unbelievable. But we go over there and watch. You wouldn't even come over.
I said, I'm here. I'm at the studio. I watched it here with the couple janitors. We watched the... I just didn't want to watch it at home, and I came to the studio thinking we could get a producer. We couldn't get a producer, so I said, you know what, I'll just watch it here. I don't know, man. It was all right. I don't give a shit. The weather was bad. I didn't want to drive around.
I know. It's terrible around here. But, folks, we got a lot of positive stuff to take out of this year. And you know, realistically, I think the NFL is worse off for not having the Cowboys continue on.
No kidding, man. No sure. kidding. I don't even want to talk about it right now. I'd still like to talk about the game if possible.
Let's go. Talk about it. But yeah. What else you want to go to?
Well,
we held Ty Montgomery to 47 yards, but he had 2 touchdowns. All right? Jared Cook was our leading receiver with 104. And remember, 35 of those came on the last play of the game. So
no,
we kept him in check.
He was no, we didn't keep him in check. Every first down,
5 for 70.
He needed, he got it. And he was like 4 or 5 yards. Clearance. One time I think I seen Jones one time to stick his arm in there, and and it stopped him from dropping. He would have caught that ball too. But other than that, this guy was just feeding on us and just abusing our.
He was open.
Was all to himself.
But Aaron Rodgers, 28 for 43 for 356 and 2 touchdowns. Prescott was 24 for 38 with 302 and 3 touchdowns. I mean, this guy went toe for toe.
Mind you, I think our guy had a better pass rating than Aaron Rodgers at 104 or 107, something like that, and Rodgers had 95. I mean, we could sit there like Joe Buck and just sit there and say how great Aaron Rodgers is, and Aikman just follows suit, whatever Buck says. I agree with you. And then that stupid referee, that guy.
Mike Pereira.
Mike Pereira agrees. Mike Pereira agrees. I don't care what you say, Mike Pereira. I really don't. I could care less what you got to say. I wish I could have muted those guys the entire game, but I couldn't.
Well, you could have had we done a show.
Well, you had to have your ass in here. Nah. We're in a studio. We're not going to your house. We don't even have the equipment to do it at your house. So, you know, your fault.
All right.
Are you two done?
No. We want to talk about that damn we couldn't get off the field on third downs.
Well, I want to bring up a couple things. I've been saying for the last 3 or 4 weeks that my biggest fear before this game was we weren't going to match the intensity at the beginning of the game. And let me finish. Once we got knocked in the mouth for the first quarter and a half or so, and we finally woke up. We were the better team the rest of the way, but we spotted them 3 touchdowns right off the bat, right? Mm-hmm. And that was my biggest fear, was that sitting around for the last 2 weeks, nothing to play for, some fresh faces to the playoffs. They haven't played in the playoffs.
It backfired, didn't it? I mean, it backfired. We weren't our same.
That was my biggest fear because it's so important. This team is built to be up early
right,
and run the ball.
Well, next year, hey, we can't go 16-0 next year, okay? We can't rest. We got to keep going, all right? That's our goal.
We're going to win them. We're going to be the first undefeated team since the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, that's your ass. We're not going
to. I can't wait to get to the sports book. I'm putting it on that, and I'm putting it on Houston Texans.
Phew, Houston Texans. Anyway, one thing that I was very happy to see, and I hope. Nah, maybe it didn't, but Dez, what a great game the guy had.
9 receptions, 132 yards.
That's what's frustrating. We've been asking, we've been begging him to be the star in the big game, and
Big game. You know? He said, I'm going to come through. I'm going to make it happen. I mean, 11 thrown at him, 9 catches. That's damn good, folks. And the guy gave everything he had. And that kills me, too, because – let me ask you guys something, and I'm going to ask Colleen this as well. Was this offense suitable maybe the first half? Maybe the first half. I'm just throwing this out here. I'm just trying to get the opinions here. But first half, maybe it was the type of Romo type of offense on this one. To where, what I mean by that is, he could have slowed the ball down. He could have, I think, it's his type of game, more or less. I know that he would have done stuff differently, but again, Prescott, you know, what numbers you just read off? Those are beautiful numbers.
Awesome.
I see what you're saying with the type of game that it was.
Right.
And it felt. I see what you mean, but I think Dak adapted very well to what needed to be done.
But we played behind
the
8 ball. I mean, we were down 21 to 3?
Yeah. 21-3.
21-3. I mean, that's a lot of points, man. And then come back.
And we're just not built to do that. That's not our bread and butter. That's not what we do well.
No, so. It's like one of those racehorses that he can't be 6-7 back. He's got to be right there and just stalking right there, or have the front.
And the one that is exactly what they brought up in the broadcast. In the second half, you could tell that we were dominating the line of scrimmage in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively. Now, our defensive line, not so much. But offensively, their defense was worn the hell down. We had beat them up. But we just took too long to get into the game.
Why did we pass the ball? Why did we now you're playing even with them. Now, why are we still passing that damn ball? Why are we passing that brown leather ball? We should be running this. I don't know.
I can't disagree with you. I just, you know... It happened, you know. It happened so fast, and you know, I had less of an issue with the play calling itself. I had more of an issue with the actual time management than I did the play calling. Now they kind of go hand in hand sometimes, because you know, if you run the ball, you're going to chew up more clock. But you know, Dak wasn't throwing a lot of incompletions either. So you know, he only averaged, I think, like 7 or 8 yards a pass. So they weren't high risk passes. He was making a lot of completions, so the clock was running. It's just, you know.
Well, you know what? I was going to bring up a point, but we're getting the halfway point to where I love to get Colleen on here, get her take on this. And, Drew, can we get Colleen on? And she's on right now. Colleen, how are you?
I'm good. How about those Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys, huh? We had a rough one there. Rough one.
What a great season we had.
Oh, well, yeah, we haven't even covered that, but we have had a great season. You're right.
You betcha.
They exceeded my expectations.
I have to say something right to start with, and maybe this will help you a little bit with your take on it. I know it helped my ladies when I explained it.
Yeah.
Even though we don't like it, it didn't seem fair, and in some ways it wasn't fair. Let me explain what happened with Bryce Butler.
Mm-hmm. Please shed a light on this.
And the unsportsmanlike call. Okay. When the players use the communication system, okay, in their helmets, from the sidelines to the helmets.
Right.
The NFL turns that communication off about 20 seconds before the ball is snapped, so that there's no communication between the huddle and the sidelines.
Okay. My point is,
let me finish.
All right. You tell him, Colleen.
That negates any conversation between what's happening on the field. It doesn't matter where they're standing. It stops the communication between what's happening on the field and what's going on the sidelines. Because according to the NFL, such communication would give them an unfair advantage. And even though the player doesn't go back out and say anything after he's come to the sidelines, he can tell them on the sidelines what's going on. And they could technically sign a communication back to the players to change a play or to do something differently or whatever. Now, that's not what happened. Bryce Butler it was a rookie mistake. He thought he was supposed to be out there. He thought he was part of the play. He was out there when he realized they're calling him off because he's not supposed to be out there. He came off. But the fact is he was out there past that 20-second interval, which makes him ineligible to come off the field after being even close to the other players. Now, they haven't called that all year long, and they haven't been calling it for years. But the reason they called it is because something that happened most recently. We played against the Giants in the regular season. And in that game, you will recall there was a communication problem between a supposed communication problem between the Giants and coaches and the players on the field. So they had a player running back and forth from the field to the sidelines taking messages. And then they got the little walkie-talkies, and they were doing it that way. They should have called a penalty during that game against the Giants. That's the penalty that they should have called. The one they called against us is the one they should have called during that game. They didn't call it. And after the fact, they caught a lot of flack for not calling it. And they fined the Giants for carrying on the way they did. What will happen with Bryce Butler, they will get fined as well. They paid attention to the fact that he broke that rule because it was brought up in the just a few games back when we played the Giants.
And what is this rule about? Does it have that whole establishment in the huddle? Does it have to be a huddle?
No.
I thought that was the
not have.
Okay.
It has to do with the clock. And you'll see the clock starts at 40 seconds, and it starts counting down.
Right.
And that's when they're allowed to be in the huddle. When it hits 20 seconds, they usually break up and head towards the line. But sometimes they don't. Sometimes they wait until, 10 seconds before.
Right.
But at the 20-second mark, the NFL... the way it's set up, those headsets are automatically turned off, so there is no communication.
Okay.
So whether he was standing on the field or in the huddle, he did it within that 20-second window.
I swear to God, I played it and I watched it,
mm-hmm.
and I don't. Mm-hmm. I still can't make heads or tails of this, and I.
Right.
It just seems like a. Like a bush league type of call.
It's a petty call. I mean, it really is a petty call. Some teams have taken advantage of it. I believe that the Giants took advantage of it and they used it to make changes based on what they could see from the sidelines and up in the booth.
What was your take on just the? Like I was talking with the guys earlier. Now, I seen so many more offensive plays that were through the air, and I really would have liked to see much more running. Maybe you could shed a light on this for me, too, so maybe I could sleep at nights thinking, what the hell were we doing tossing the ball left and right? Am I right or wrong on this?
No, you're right. I don't understand why they were trying to throw so much. I think they were worried that, they tried a few run plays and he got stopped and we lost a yard or we only gained a yard. And I think that they just overthought it, overcorrected it, whatever. And I don't know if it was, Dak has more than one play when he goes out there.
Right.
And I don't know if he was making that decision to do the pass or if it was this, instead of a run or if it was completely the call coming from the sidelines that he was being told to pass it. But I think we failed our team by doing that.
Which brings me to the next question.
The first half.
Yeah. Go ahead, Colin.
The first half was like they were still in the locker room.
Yeah.
They just didn't have it together. And then when they came out in the second half and, you gotta give them credit coming back from that much of a deficit to tie the game.
Right, right.
And to keep them from scoring was amazing.
Yeah. Colleen, I brought up to the guys, for about 14 and a half weeks, we used our guy. We used Elliot. I mean, we used him physically. And then we gave him about, 3 and a half weeks off, basically? Okay, can we say something like that? Any case. He deserved the ball 30 to 40 times in this game. I mean, he needed the whole eating process. I don't think he got to the refrigerator. I really think he needed to eat, and he needed those third down and twos. We covered this. Me and Steve-O have kicked back early in this podcast thing. We talked about it, that this is one area that we were very confident with, that we're not going to worry about third down and one or third down and two anymore. And sure enough, it comes back and it bites us on the ass on this. And it happens. It happened to us in the playoff time. Out of all the times, that first series, and maybe, again, you said that I'm right, and that first series, would you guys have went for it? Third down and two. Now, all he has to do, they never catch the guy on the other side. He's never a loss. He goes forward every time. He gets one. He gets one and a half. Your nose, you're inches away from a first down now, and you're inside. You don't have to take the field goal. You got to go for it again. What do you guys think?
I'm not sure if you're go for it again. I think, but you have to establish that we're the biggest boys on the block, and we're going to ram it down your throat.
Yes.
And
we're the best offensive line.
We're the best offensive line. We're going to ram it down your throat. I think that's the thing that we needed to establish early. And we dominated them in the running game. I mean, I'm looking at the stats here again, and I mean, overall, I mean, you can't tell how bad it was in the first half. But I mean,
if we score a touchdown on that first drive instead of 3 points, I know it's total microcosm, but I feel like if we would have matched touchdown early, then we wouldn't have started to feel like the ball started rolling against us. Yeah, then that's when we had to go back and throw because we're worried about being behind by 18 points.
If you remember right, that first series they had was the one that Bush League Aaron Rodgers played on a third and five that got them onto the field and led to it. And then the second one is when they got us, and we talked about this a couple months ago, that he's the type of quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. There's a couple of them. Brady's one. Roethlisberger's one. When they draw you across a line on an offsides, they're going to take a free play.
Right.
And he takes a free play, and I don't know how it does not hit Sean Lee there. I mean, maybe he should grow hair like that jack wagon over there with Green Bay Matthews, and it probably would have knocked it down. But, it went right by a shoulder pad for a touchdown.
Right. Colleen, what's your take on that?
Well, I think that I agree. I mean, if we had gotten that touchdown to begin with, I think they somehow, you can watch it every game, when we have gotten a big penalty and gone back so that we're minus 20, it's like it just dampers their whole spirit.
But would you have went on at third down and two? Do you start running the ball? Or what's your take on that?
There are times when I think they should run it, and there are times when I think they should throw it. When it's on the third down, it seems that we pretty much consistently try to go for a short throw just to make that couple of yards. But whenever we have tried the run on the third down, we've made it. So
exactly.
I don't know why they don't do it more often.
Right. And that's what we've done all year. That's what we do.
And you're right. Once we get behind, it's like the play calling changes, and they're so worried about getting caught back up that I think they overthink it, and they just start firing and throwing. You know, I saw something as well with that call against Bryce Butler, because everybody was like, that's a bogus call. And it seemed like if you watch the plays that followed that, I mean, we lost 15 yards on that. So we repeated the first down. And you know what we did? We put Bryce Butler in on the first down, and we tried to throw to him, and he dropped it. And the second play, they tried to throw it to him again, and he dropped it. And the third time, they tried to throw it to him again, and he dropped it. And I had to question why they were doing it. And all I could think in my head was they were trying to let him make up for the penalty that was called against him. And that's why they were focusing just on him, because we had other receivers open.
Yeah, I don't know, Colin. That's a tough sell on that, because playoff time, I don't care whose feelings I'm hurting or anything like that. I mean, if there's a guy that's open, you're going that direction. I don't care if he's going to take his ball and go home and cry or anything.
Well, Terrence Williams had a pretty big drop there, too.
Yeah, but he wasn't always open when they threw to him those three times.
Yeah, yeah.
But there were other players that were open.
No, I agree with you.
They were.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. Yeah, I'm agreeing. I don't know why he kept going there. I don't see an explanation for that. It's rookie mistakes right now. And
right.
Maybe, hopefully, God willing, that we could get these mistakes out of him. And these guys are not. These guys are not going to be rookies next year. I mean, these guys are experiencing something that a lot of rookies don't ever get to experience. So,
exactly.
You know, our future looks bright, but Jesus, I'd love to have seen this win here this time around at our home. And it seems like, is it me or is it you guys see it too, but Aaron Rodgers is not that good in the snow, in the ice, in the freezing weather than he is inside. I think he really adapts well indoor.
Right. Yeah. I think this game was, you know, it was hard to swallow. It hurt. There was a big sting there. But, you know, I just look at, we had the way these rookies played all season long and what they did all season long was so fantastic, and the fact that so many rookies got to experience this where other teams, like you said, other players will never have a chance to experience it, especially in their rookie year. I wish that we could have gone for it, but I am so proud of the team that we had this year, and I see us going forward stronger.
Colleen, you sound like Rich, and you're all positive. And
This is what it's all about.
We're negative.
What the hell
here.
You want us to do?
Rich probably didn't want to come in because he knew the negativity would be flying. Colleen, how many bricks can you break with your punch? I mean, that's a measure of
Rich's right measure. There, yeah. I got an email from Ray from El Paso, New Mexico, and yeah. He says, what are our concerns going into the draft or free agency? What do we look for? And, you know, I myself right now am leaning towards either we go defensive end, defensive tackle, some interior defensive lineman, or I'm sorry, folks, if you bought into it, but I still haven't bought into our DBs. Not 100%. I'm not 100%
We need to fix our defense. I can't see how they cannot address our defense. But one going forward with free agency, I mean, it's the bearer of bad news, but we really need to take a look at what's coming up. We have Terrence Williams, Justin Durant, Ronald Leary, Barry Church, Lance Dunbar, Jack Crawford, Terrell McClain, J.J. Wilcox, Bryce Butler. That's just to name a few of the players to me that are important. That are going to become free agents. There are other ones like Gavin Escobar, Rolando McClain, Sanchez, Kellen Moore, those Joshua Thomas. Those guys are also becoming free agents, but I'm not as worried about some of those as I am some of the others.
Okay, but what are you focusing on, though, Colleen? What position right now? Let's say we get that core back. What position in your head, in your mind, thinking about the Packer game and any future holes that we may have. How do you fill them? Where do you go?
I go with somebody. I think we need a good I'm trying to think what's probably the best thing. We've got to do something about a pass rusher.
Pass rusher. I thought pass rusher too.
Let me throw an idea out at you. Damaged goods for damaged goods. What do you say we throw Romo down
to
Houston?
There you go again. Why is he damaged goods?
Because he had a broken back.
He's back.
How about if we throw him down to Houston and get J.J. Watt?
Oh, Jesus Christ. He's hurt every other day.
Well, that so is Romo.
Here's my
thought process is obviously they're in need of a quarterback. I think they got a pretty good team and a pretty easy division down there. They're in need of somebody. They got good receivers.
They paid $18 million for that QB. They're not going to take a loss on that.
Wait a minute, but you'd have to look at I think they might be on the hook for another $18 million, which is what Romo is too. On the hook for. But the thought process, they were the number one defense without J.J. Watt, and they need a quarterback.
You're serious about this?
I'm serious as far as starting a rumor.
I don't think it'll happen. With Romo, there are kind of three scenarios. One, if he goes to another team, they're going to wait late to trade him. If they make him a free agent, that allows him to go wherever he wants to go.
Which means they got to cut him and take a $25 million dead money hit.
They would cut him in June. They won't cut him early. They'll cut him June 1st, which will delay the dead money hit on the cap. They're going to take a hit regardless. If we trade him, the best we're going to get out of a trade is if we're lucky, would be a third round pick, but it would likely be fourth round or lower. Honestly, we're not going to get much in a trade, and they are talking about trading him for $24 million. And we're going to take the hit on the rest of it. So we're still going to have a large dead money of about $25 million. And the third option is they hang on to him, but I don't know how they can do that when we've got all these players coming up.
Right.
And we need players. And with the cap, I just don't know where they're going to find the space.
Rodney, what do you got over there?
So I think, same as you guys, at the top of my list, pass rushing. We got to find some DNs. Next after that, I go linebacker or DB. And my third is I'm actually going to start thinking about bringing in an offensive lineman. Is it an immediate need right now? No.
Just signed Cooper, who's a first-rounder. Okay. You got Lyle Collins coming back, who's right up there with him. And then from a linebacker standpoint, you got Jalen Smith. So
maybe he's got to prove it first.
He's a top 10 NFL pick.
Go ahead, Colin.
I want somebody to shore up Doug Free's spot.
That's what I want to bring the offensive lineman in now. Let him learn from the best in the business right now. I'm not saying we have to take offensive lineman the first three rounds, but maybe four, five, or six.
Isn't that your Cooper? Isn't that your Cooper signing? Your Lyle Collins. To me, I get it. You need a defensive end, and you need some cap relief that Tony Romo's eaten up. I mean, obviously, Colleen's right on the money. That's why she's a professor when she says that you got all these guys you got to sign or your team's going to look much different. And the easiest way to find that in the budget is a Romo.
Right.
Okay?
We got that. We've established that.
But, you know, if you got Denver playing hardball right now, which is the most logical place for him to land because they're a playoff Super Bowl contender if they had a quarterback, if all of a sudden they're playing hardball saying, well, we have no interest in Romo, and that might just be a ploy right now because, I mean, how many times did, you know, you hear crap come out of these guys' mouth and then, you know, 2 weeks later.
Yeah, it's a game of poker.
Starting. And that's why I threw out the Texans thing is the fact that they have something.
That will never happen.
I know it will never happen. But if you're not making a phone call for damaged goods for damaged goods, and they're close, I'm telling you, that team is close to making a run. The Texans.
Yeah, I think they already spent too much on their QB. I think that I brought this up a couple shows ago. I think that Terrence Williams thing, you watch where Romo goes, Terrence Williams will go because Romo loves Terrence Williams.
He can go. I'm not a huge I feel like he can be replaced.
Yeah.
I like him. I like him.
I like him, too.
He's not. But I'm saying to you, then that draws some sort of a domino effect. Now you have to sign Butler. You'd have to go for Butler now. And you lose Terrence. Am I wrong to say where Romo goes, Terrence Williams say, I will follow.
I'm with you.
I mean, I throw the ball to you. I love you. I'm going to throw the ball to you wherever I go. I'm going to make you star with me. So,
right.
But at some point, you got to adopt the Bill Belichick New England Patriots, where we can find replacements as long as we have our core guy, which their core guy was one guy. You know, let's be honest.
Right.
We have such a huge, huge advantage because we have a guy that we're paying fourth round money, who's our.
How long do we pay him that?
Is it 4 years? Is it a rookie contract or three?
I think it's 3 years.
It's four.
It's four. Great.
Okay. Yeah. So that's great. But I mean, at that point, if you can move Romo off your books, you're sitting real good from the standpoint we talked about this last week or a couple weeks ago, where you're set yourself up. In the NFL, you got a 3 or 4 year window unless you're able to overhaul your roster continuously, and that's something the Patriots have been able to do. After that, all these guys get to the point where they've won and they want to go get their paycheck, or they just want to go get their paycheck, because at the end of the day, it's not for long, right? They're not in the league very long.
That was coming,
right? Yeah, they're not in the league that long. They're not making the type of money where they can just sit back, and most of the guys,
right?
You know, 90% of them. So if you can do something with Romo, great. I just don't know how it can be. I just don't see a solution out there with it.
Right.
Colleen? Unless, Colleen, you're right, that you hit that June number where you've already, you know, bonus roster bonus or whatever it is for the April number, and then your hit isn't as bad, but you've already spread it out a little bit more.
Right. I mean, they're going to take the $25 million hit regardless if they release him or they trade him. They've already said that. But
well, if we're going to take a hit, then why even trade him?
Well, that's the other thing. Why trade him? Why not keep him? But so if they release him June 1st, it spreads that hit out and it makes the cap space.
Okay, so
then
we're looking at half of that,
and it gives him the option of being able to choose the team he wants to go to.
And that's fair to him. That's fair.
And or retire.
Yeah, he's not going to retire. But that's fair.
But it leaves that door open to him, and that's what he wants.
Yeah,
right.
I love it.
The thing is if he was 2 years older, you know, and maybe hadn't gone through the last 2 years of being injured, you know, maybe if it was just this year being injured and two years older, maybe you might look at him doing some sort of restructuring of his contract to stay on board. But the guy, obviously, you've seen, he can still play at this league. I mean, he can flat out play.
Right.
And I would hate, I wish there was a way to keep him and continue to sign, unless you're going to go ahead and say, hey, your Wilcoxes and Churches are going to walk and we just got to replace them.
Well, you know what? I hate covering Romo every week, too. I'm ready for this episode with Romo to get done with. But so right now, then, our concern is our defensive line, which we had a hard time stopping the run against the Green Bay Packers, out of all people, too.
Well, I don't know. They had the Ripkowski had a 20. I think, Ty Montgomery had a 17-yard that really kind of killed us on that last drive, right? It started it off.
And I think that the way the game was going dictated why Ripkowski was even effective at all. If he's your If we were turning around and handing him the ball 15 or 20 times, we're going to stop him. We had to play for the pass. Like, that's, we knew that was going to be 80% of Green Bay's game plan.
Oh, that's a good point.
From time to time, you hand off those draws, and you got your DBs running back, or you're blitzing, but you blitz the wrong hole. Right. Sometimes you're going to get hit for that, and that's what happens.
Speaking of which, and I'm going to go back to the beginning of the show when we started talking about Rodgers. How in the hell did he not fumble that ball?
That big hit?
I mean, are you kidding? How does he hold on to that?
No idea.
Luck. I mean, that's I don't see anything other than luck.
I mean, that is, when that happened.
It's the same way Cole Beasley hung on to that ball when he took that first hard hit.
He got body slammed there from the top turnbuckle?
Oh, my gosh. He flipped. Yeah. I was like, oh, please get up. Please get up. And he popped right up like.
I tell you what, Colin, you didn't see what we seen on TV, how he catches, Rodgers catches a snap that he doesn't even know it's been snapped, and he hands off to the running back that he doesn't even know he handed the ball off to the running back, and the running back gets the ball, and he doesn't even know he's got the ball.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
I'm not kidding, Colin. That's really what happened on TV. We seen that. And we just couldn't believe that this was happening in front of our eyes, that it's so divine intervention like this.
The football gods were against this.
Yeah, that was crazy. But, they get that sack, and I'm thinking, oh, my, this is no way in hell. I mean, that's just kneel down, right? Yeah. And then the bull crap happens there at the end of the game. Mm. But
What about that halftime thing, Colleen? I know we caught you halfway in the show, but would you have tried – I mean, these guys kick off all the time. Why not try a three-pointer with no time left and there's no one that's going to bother you on the defensive side? Why not try a 74-yard field goal? Huh?
Sure.
I mean, why not?
Yeah.
That reminds me of the old that rule is something like the other rules we dealt with today, that from the longest yard. What in the hell was that? Mm-hmm. It was a drop kick. What's that worth?
3 points.
3 points? 3 points.
2 points.
Was it 2 points?
Two points.
2 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a 74-yard field goal with nobody rushing. What's that worth?
Yeah. Yeah. Should be worth something. Anyway, I'm glad we're
Listen, do we just
again.
Go for? Do we just go for 2 hours? Should we just keep it going right now? I mean,
No, not really. Okay.
Here's what. Colleen, while we got you on here, and obviously, folks, we came to the end of the Dallas Cowboys season for 2016. We're going to keep this show going. I believe it's still on a weekly basis.
Yeah,
the podcast. Yeah. So there'll be a lot more Romo talk. There'll be a lot more free agent talk. There's going to be the best of show, I'm sure, coming out. There's going to be where we talk about Jono's sausage fingers.
I don't know where the hell you get sausage fingers at. Rodney, what the hell is he talking
those
about?
Those look. Listen, you might be
Drew. Forget all these guys. Drew, look at this. Do you see any?
Do they look like bratwurst from Sheboygan Falls, Wisconsin? He looks like he could grill those at Lambeau Field.
How the hell
do
you even know a town in Wisconsin?
Sheboygan
Falls. I'm telling you, you're a damn traitor.
Hey, home of the.
You're up there, aren't you? You live up there with a cheesehead.
Home of the Johnsonville brats and the wigwam socks. Sheboygan Falls, man, you can't miss it.
Jono, your fingers are big.
The fingers are thin.
Yeah, that's coming football. From that's big hands.
Those are mitts. So we're going to do the show every week, and so Colleen's going to be on with us, folks. The professor's going to be on with us as she's hopefully committed to this. We're going to have other people on. Hopefully, Jono will allow me to bring on guys like agents.
I don't want anyone that's played for another team. Well, you bring on Cowboys or you bring on people that love the Cowboys. I don't want to hear from anyone that played for the Redskins or the Philadelphia Eagles.
So here's how it is. I say, Colleen, I go, hey, Byron Jones is going to go on the show. And he goes, when's Romo coming on? When you going to get Elliot? You got to walk before you crawl, son.
Why would Romo come on after you guys want to get rid of him? I'm saying we keep him.
There you go. Jerry Jones.
I would love to keep him.
Yeah. He wants Jerry Jones on.
We would.
Yeah, you're right about that. In some sort of a way, he'll always be a Cowboy, though, and I'm guaranteeing when he retires, they'll give him a contract to be a Cowboy, and he'll retire a Cowboy. And wherever he plays, God bless him. He's done so much for us, and it wasn't him wanting to leave Dallas. It was Dallas saying, hey, you know what? I think it's time for us to move on. Speaking of moving on, what do you guys think about Packers going in Atlanta? I, 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 for one, am not
the... I hope Atlanta kicks their butt.
I'm the same way. I am not that type of guy that says, well, whoever beats me, I hope they win it all so it makes my team look good. Forget all that crap. I'm a big Atlanta Falcon fan this week. I love to see them win. I do not want to see either the Patriots, the damn Steelers. I got rings, you know. I'm trying to protect these rings, and I'm talking to you right now. I'd like to see Atlanta come through and get one.
Yeah, I think Atlanta is definitely who I'm pulling for on the NFC side. I think it's, God, you're hard-pressed on the AFC side. I mean, between Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and Tom Brady, I think they've been in the last 15 Super Bowls.
Peyton Manning.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, those guys.
He's not in this.
I get it, but you got Roethlisberger and...
They kicked 18 points of field goals. You think I'm scared of them?
Their kickers.
Why couldn't we play them?
Well, you wanted to play the Packers.
No, I'm the biggest Falcons fan this week, and I'm gonna be doing the Dirty Bird in the living room every time they score because my wife's a Packers fan.
Do they still do that? So, too legit to quit?
I don't know, but I don't know what I'm gonna do. But I'm gonna already have a Matt Ryan jersey and a hat.
Probably. Oh, and by the way, Deion's
just to
house,
give it back to my wife.
That's the house that Deion built, right? Isn't that Deion's house down there, the Georgia Dome?
Yeah,
and it's closing down after this week. It's done. Yeah. So. That's big time. That's a little cowboy nostalgia for you.
Mm-hmm.
Prime time.
We don't have time for that.
Yeah, he played for the Falcons.
You know, I have to say, did you guys hear that the prices for the Super Bowl have gotten cheaper?
Of course they have. Who the hell wants to go see the Packers or the damn Falcons take on the Patriots?
Hey, realistically. Go ahead, Colleen.
As soon as we lost, down went the prices.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what happens. NFL, good job. Good job with your all-star cast of referees.
Hey, by the way, I have a I had a message here on Facebook that I'd just like to share with the group here.
Yeah, if it's something with sausage, Drew, get rid of the – put them on mute. Go.
I got a backup here because we had a long conversation.
You keep that button right there with you, Drew.
I had a guy that reached out to me, said he was telling his friends – about the podcast, and he said he would put our show, up against any sports show on the radio.
Well, God bless him.
He says it's that good.
I like
so,
that.
We keep it real.
And the thing about our show with our guests and with our crew here is that we speak for the fans. This is a fan-friendly show. This is what it's all about. I mean, these are people that – would sit back at a bar and watch a game with all Cowboy fans and crack peanuts and drink some beer, cold beer with it. And that's what we're not the X's and O's. We try to be. And you know what? My last predictions of Cook and Rodgers and with his little Lucifer ways of, I'm going to wait till they have 12 men on the field and I'm going to toss the ball.
Now that's
to
classic.
The end zone.
That's classic right there.
Yeah. And that's I brought all this up, but it's not. We don't look for that. We look for how we're feeling. We go on emotion. This is a great show. I love doing this. It's been a great ride with us and with you guys too. And I can't wait to keep going with this. And you know, for the draft, we ought to have it here with the cameras and go through the whole first round and see what the Cowboys would be. I'd love to do that with you guys too.
Would you?
Yeah, I would.
That sounds good.
Yeah, perfect.
We'll do that. We'll do that live too. But no, folks, expect a lot of good things from us this even during the off season.
Yeah, Colleen.
The last podcast got me in a little bit of trouble because I honestly don't like to predict the scores, and you guys have got me predicting the scores. And if you were a call, I said if this game gets close, it's going to be 34-31. Mm. But I predicted it. For us, not for them.
Well, it should have been for us too, Colleen. So you did great, and you've been great this entire year, this entire season, having your fans on board, having other groups' fans on board. It's been an outstanding ride, and again, we can't wait to keep going and make this once a week. Now, I think we should do once a week, but when season starts up again, we go twice.
Yeah, it'll go twice. The other thing I kind of want to throw out, and I got to get your guys' opinion on it, what I'd love to try to do is get the NFL channel in here. I don't know if we have it in here.
Yeah.
We do?
Yeah, we could get it, yeah.
When they do the replay of the Cowboy game following, I would, instead of going live during the game, I'd love to do the hour recap live, and that way we can talk about the highlights and as that goes on as, as our show.
Why not?
And kind of fill in. Just an idea, and we'll kind of broach that as the season gets nearer. But, man, it's been a blast. And
Colleen, you've been great on the show.
Phenomenal.
Outstanding. So you definitely put a different perspective on me ranking the women football fans out there. I mean, you guys have been outstanding. Your site's outstanding. I'm even learning talking to you on what's going on. I still don't understand that bullshit unsportsmanlike conduct call that Butler got. But in any case, it's been a good ride, and I appreciate you guys, and I hope you guys enjoy lineupmedia.fm. We've got some great shows. We've got about 60, 70 shows now. I don't know. But any type of show you guys are looking for, it's on lineupmedia.fm. And you can go to cowboyspodcast.com. And if you're shopping on Amazon, please go through our site first. Once you go through our site, we'll get a little love back from, Amazon, actually. I mean, it's pennies to the dollar. But in any case, it keeps the lights on and keeps our Cowboy show alive and kicking. So we appreciate that very much, too, my friends.
Right. Follow our podcast.
What's that?
You got to follow the podcast on cowboyspodcast.com subscribe to it.
Subscribe to it.
Stitcher, and Twitter, Apple iTunes, all that Google Play stuff.
And why not leave a little comment under iTunes there?
Right. You got Cowboys Podcast Facebook page.
Yeah.
You got me at Steve O. Jones on Facebook. And Colleen, what's give a shout out to your group one more time.
She loves the Cowboys.
She loves the Cowboys.
If you're
a female out there, get on board with the professor.
Yeah.
She will drop mad science on you.
But you know what? She checks out the blueprints on you, too. You better have some Cowboy data on you, or Colleen says, nuh-uh. This ain't happening.
Exactly.
Because you could be a spy in the NFC East, and you could be out to get
us. A troll. You could be a troll.
You could be a troll, like Steve-O with his sausage fingers. Anyway. From Jono, Steve-O, Rodney, Colleen. Hey, thanks, guys, and sorry it turned out this way, but we'll be back next year, and we'll be back next week for more Dallas Cowboys Show. Take care.
Go, boys.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com, on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.